Every day, we read reports of how much some celebrity, sports figure, or university president makes in annual salary. Human nature makes us very interested in the perceived undeserving compensation of others. This fascination also extends to compensation of corporate executives, and new federal laws became effective this week to satisfy our popular belief that people that make more than we do are overpaid. Executive compensation outrage is not new. Following the 1929 market crash, the public at large learned for the first time how much corporations paid executives, and the reaction was not favorable. The median salary for corporate presidents was $69,000 in 1930, $5,000 less than the President of the United States, and $10,000 less than Babe Ruth. But the public wasn't very happy about Babe Ruth's salary either. Debates over whether any person should make more than a just wage spawned legislative efforts to cap corporate executive salaries or tax excessive compensation at a higher rate. Shareholders brought cases against boards of directors who approved such high salaries for wasting corporate assets. However, courts were unwilling to step in and impose their own definitions of reasonable compensation, and the legislation eventually died out as well. The past 15 years, however, have been a replay of the 1930s excessive wage debate, complete with proposed legislation and unsuccessful shareholder suits against companies such as Disney. In 2009, the average Fortune 500 CEO pay was over $11 million in salary and bonus compensation, 344 times the salary of a rank-and-file employee. As a response, reformers have introduced legislation to cap, tax, or otherwise regulate executive compensation in every recent congressional session. The rallying cry has been, pay for performance, and who can argue with that? Reformers have argued that executives of corporations have boards of directors hostage and pay themselves large amounts out of shareholder assets. Therefore, the argument goes, the federal government should step in and regulate compensation. In 1993, corporations were denied a tax deduction for certain executive salaries over $1 million. However, this rule resulted in the norm that CEOs receive $1 million in salary, and the rest in fully deductible stock options and bonuses. The financial crisis, however, gave reformers a new argument, systemic risk. The argument is that compensation structures of Wall Street firms encouraged actors to take inappropriate risks, which in the aggregate tanked the economy. Reformers dusted off old legislation and scratched out pay for performance and wrote in systemic risk. Beginning last week, under the Dodd-Frank Act, shareholders in public companies now have the right to a non-binding vote on executive compensation once every 3 years. In addition, publicly held companies must disclose the ratio of the CEO's salary to the median salary of all employees. This sounds like an easy task, but many commentators have noted that comparisons will not be easy to draw between firms in different industries and may encourage companies to outsource low-wage jobs. The kicker will come in 3 months, however. At that time, the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, and the SEC are required to put in place rules that prohibit, yes, prohibit, certain compensation plans that encourage inappropriate risk-taking because the plans are excessive or will lead to a material loss. Of course, someone will have to decide what is an inappropriate risk and what is excessive compensation. And if the companies that pay this compensation have troubles figuring this out, the question remains whether the federal government can. And to Yankees player Alex Rodriguez, no, you're not on deck. Yet. This is Christine Hurt.